Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight in Chinatown, Capital One Arena, 7:30 puck drop for season 2025-2026. The Caps hosting the Bruins. The NHL season actually got underway with a few games last night. The longtime voice, and we're talking about 30 years at least, of the Washington Capitals is our good friend Joe Beninati to help us kind of preview this upcoming season. Last year, obviously, a surprise season, 51-22-9, first in the Metropolitan. They won their first playoff series, beating Montreal since the Stanley Cup season. And of course, you know, much of the season was about Alex Ovechkin's goal-scoring chase. Let's start there. What do you expect from the guy that led the team in goals and potentially could have led the league in goals had he played all, you know, 82 last year? What do you expect in this age 40 season?
Kevin, he's still amazing in so many different ways, but, you know, this is season 21 for him, and I still see the kid-like joy that he approaches an opening day. It's not like it's something that's tiresome or that he would be jaded. He has the approach of a five-year-old youth hockey player getting out there and running around. That's just the way he approaches the game. He still has the love for it and that zeal to perform at the highest level. Now, for him, at age 40, I think the most important thing is to keep him healthy. I wish you could bubble wrap him, but you can't. But even in a situation last year where he had the largest in-season injury of his career, he was still able to produce enormous goal totals at age 39. At 40, I'm hoping for the same. When you look at it, you sit, there's no way he can do that again. I'm sorry, this is Alex Ovechkin. He does things that people don't expect.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I think it's interesting how last year sort of was talked about before the year began, right? It was like, you know, he's going to chase this down and hopefully he'll get there, but it's probably going to happen in 2026 at some point, mm-hmm. you know, mid to late season. And then he's on this tear and the team is playing well. And it was almost as if people focused more, Joe, on his goal chase, his record chase, than the fact that he was a big reason why the team had a surprising season.
Yeah, without a doubt. Things came together, and it wasn't just Alex's season and the great chase, et cetera, et cetera. It was more than just Alex's 44 goals that helped them run away with the East, run away with the Metro. It was a team that collectively, so many of them, achieved single-season best years altogether, and that's what you hope can continue. I still see them as a team that's maturing. I see shrewd moves through the draft for the future. I see shrewd moves player personnel-wise to inject some more speed into the lineup starting tonight. I really like this team. I do. I just think there are a lot of squads, especially in the East, that are improving. And I think the best teams in the NHL probably reside out West. But there's no real reason why you could sit there and go, no, the Caps aren't going to do that again. They snuck up on everybody. Okay. I still think that they're collectively on paper better now than they were then. And this team really likes it, Kevin, when prognosticators and handicappers go, ah, now's the step back. The chase is over. They're going to relax. They're going to be a fringe playoff team. No, I don't think so. I don't see it that way. And when the guys hear that, when the players hear that, when this coaching staff hears that, it's fuel. It motivates them.
What did we learn last year about Spencer Carberry, who won the Jack Adams Award for the best coach last year? What did we learn about him as a coach? Not that he had a great season, obviously, but what did we learn about the kind of teams that he wants to produce?
2 years ago, when he arrived, Kevin, they wanted to play, and he wanted to play a tempo, a style of game that his horses couldn't do. He didn't have the speed to play the way he wanted to 2 years ago. He managed, and what he did was revise. So he revised another plan for last year, and look what it did and how it impacted so many players individually. His, I think, great ability is to meet with players one-on-one, isolate a role for them, and then with the help of his staff and the help of the team collectively, they help everybody fit together inside the role. There's no circle trying to be a square. If you have to be this player for this group to succeed, then let's itemize what your role is. Let's identify it. And I'm going to motivate you to be the best player X that you can be. And he just has a way of, and it's not just the way he deals with media. It's the way, more importantly, what happens behind those closed doors that influences everyone. But the media sees him as a very young coach. He's still, I believe, the second youngest. So his ability to relate to these players is very, very good. And they see just how much he brings to the table, not just X's and O's, but intensity and motivationally. And they want to play and succeed for him. And now in year three, I expect even better things. I really do. And Spencer is a fabulous coach. His staff doesn't get nearly enough credit that it deserves. But top to bottom, that's a really good group. And they have the ability to know what this particular group of players needs to be at their best. And what's the expression? They push those right buttons.
All right, let's talk about, the team. And I want to start with Ryan Leonard. Obviously, as a very young player being called up late in the year, there were some expectations. And by the way, I thought even in the games where he didn't produce a point, he looked like and seemed like he was on the verge of producing something. Where does he kind of fall in here on their, on their lines? Is he going to – how will that shake out, and what are you expecting from Ryan Leonard?
So here's the great thing about this club in particular, and I'm not saying that they didn't have this ability last year. I think they did. But when you inject Ryan Leonard in full time, when you put Hendrix LaPierre in hopefully at full time, Justin Sortif in full time – now you're giving Spencer and the staff, coaching staff, flexibility. So Leonard, to me, is going to start on the third line with Beauvillier and LaPierre, but at any given moment could play second line, could play first line, could be fourth line. Ryan's skill set, he plays the game with a sort of hell-bent for leather kind of approach. He's not 6'3", 235. He's right. Not one of those guys, but he plays bigger than he is. He reminds me in that regard of a TJ Oshie, who always played bigger than he was. He's not afraid to get his nose dirty. He sticks his head in and he sticks his body in along the boards with players who are much bigger and stronger. But he goes in with such a ferocity to it. It worries me sometimes because he does play on the edge and he does play fast. He's a well-conditioned, well-put-together athlete. He knows what his body can sustain. But I think it's interesting, Kevin, that you choose to start with him because he's a player. You saw it in flashes and in brief instances last year. And to ask him to come from being the big star on the national stage at Boston College into the Stanley Cup playoffs or inject him into Alex Ovechkin's great chase with only right. 3 or 4 or 5 goals left. That's a lot to ask from an expectation standpoint. They're still going to ask a lot from him. I think he's better suited for it now. I think he's more comfortable. And he's the type of player that, you know, has the not only the skill set, but the moxie and the confidence. There's a confidence, an air about him.
He was fearless. He was fearless.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's got the pedigree, Kevin. I mean, this is a World Junior MVP. This is a National League champion type player going deep into the NCAA tournament. This is a player who's used to winning. And I like what I see from him. And I think the player, he's blended in nicely with this group of players. They still protect him. He's still the 20-year-old kid. But I think he's going to fit in very, very nicely with this group.
Talking, of course, to Joe B, Caps and Bruins tonight to open up the season. So what are we going to see goaltender-wise? Are we going to see Lindgren and Thompson split a lot of the games? Or will, you know, Thompson kind of take it and run with it this year as the primary goaltender?
I'm not going to put words in Scott Murray and Spencer Carberry's mouth, but I would guess with what Logan achieved and what he showed last year, he is the unquestioned number one, and Charlie Lindgren is okay with that. And Charlie Lindgren is the really nice foil to be the backup. So in a perfect world, you usually anticipate in an 82-game season, sort of a 2/3 to 1/3 split when you have an ordained number one like Logan has become. And I just think the two of them give you the ability to win each and every night. There are a lot of teams that would be envious of this tandem. Now, is Logan going to be thought of like a Shesterkin or a Bobrovsky or a Vasilevsky, that kind of elite number one? No, but he's not far off of that. And he, to me, is the poster child of, you know what, you don't think I'm that good? I'll show you. You don't think I'm good enough for this international team or that NHL team or that Canadian college or junior team? Let me show you. At every level, this guy has bowed his back and played with that chip on the shoulder and said, I will show you that I'm better. And okay, Logan, you played great. You got this lucrative contract. Now you're going to relax. No. Watch. He's just that kind of competitive person, and I think the entire team feeds off of it.
If I tell you Strom leads the team in points, who's second?
Dubois. I really think Pierre-Luc Dubois is. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is a terrific two-way player. And for 4 months last year, Kevin, he was on the way to pushing Dylan to that top spot.
Right.
And I think in the last 2 months, and I need to check with Pierre-Luc directly, but in the last couple of months, and especially come playoff time, Pierre-Luc Dubois is a very sound two-way player, conscientious in the defensive zone, and I wouldn't be surprised if, and I'm again, this is just me making a guess, that, hey, I know you can contribute. We know we want you to contribute at the offensive end, but do me a favor. We're playing Carolina. I need you to sit on Aho tonight. You're playing Montreal. I need you to sit on Suzuki tonight. You're playing against Edmonton. I need you to guard McDavid tonight. He focused so much on the defensive assignments in the second half of the season, and especially closer to playoff time, that it probably weakened his offensive output. When you watch him in training camp, I only think he played 2 or 3 preseason games tops, but he was flat out flying. And when he's right, to me, I think this is going to be the first year he gets 30 goals. He's been a high 20s guy for a while. He went crazy with assists last year. I expect him to push Dylan in that 1-2 total point race.
Tell me a little bit about the guy they traded for in June, sort of. Where does he fit in?
So at the beginning of camp, Kevin, there was something going on there. He was in a non-contact jersey. He was not himself. I've seen him feel better, get stronger, look quicker. Our scouts really speak highly of him. And these are the same pro scouts and amateur scouts who have been drafting incredibly well the last 2 or 3 years. I can't tell you how excited I am for 2 or 3 seasons out from now. The Caps are going to be a hulking. There's going to be there. Everybody on the team is going to be basically NBA small forward. They're
right.
Huge and talented, but that's for a few years from now. This group identified Justin Sortif as a player who can play center, play wing, be aggressive on a forecheck, and be a real nice mix with those two bloodhounds, with Duhaime and Dowd on that fourth line. But again, he gives you the flexibility to play anywhere in the lineup. The thing that stood out to me as training camp went along and as preseason games went along, well, you know what? He's got good pace. I didn't see it at the beginning. He wasn't himself at the beginning. There was something ailing him. But at the end of camp, I saw that extra step. And that's the kind of quickness that bodes well forechecking-wise. When you're playing with Duhaime and Dowd, that's the kind of line that's miserable to play against. And sort of speed and quickness will help that. Not a big body, not a huge guy at all, but a guy who's not afraid, again, to stick his nose in.
Is there a player, Joe, that you kind of have a hunch is going to be a much bigger contributor than most people think right now?
I want to go on the defensive side. I know John Carlson and Jacob Chychrun are going to fuel the defense from offense's standpoint, but I have a feeling Rasmus Sandin is going to provide a bigger scoring year this year. I think he's in great condition. I watched him in a preseason game in New Jersey tearing up and down the ice like I hadn't seen before. So I think he's feeling well. He's in a good place from a conditioning standpoint. And I know he's got the mindset. He's got the acumen to be a more offensive-minded defenseman. Spencer is giving him a lot of credit for being a two-way sound defensive guy first. And again, when you're playing defense, that's your primary role. Not everybody can be Cale Makar threatening 30 goals on from the defensive blue line. And yes, Chychrun and Carlson are going to score, odds are, more than Rasmus. But I wouldn't be surprised if Rasmus picks up his offensive numbers and someone like Martin Ferravari also picks up his offensive numbers. Collectively, that group of six last year on defense was so high scoring for Washington, it really helped fuel their attack.
Interesting, because the next question was more about the goals they scored last year, and that is, if they end up having a repeat season, regular season, we know how the playoffs are, you know, a total crapshoot in that sport, but if they end up, you know, with 105, 110, 111 points like they did last year, is it because they end up being one of the highest, you know, one of the top two or three scoring teams in the league?
There are a lot of weapons on this team. There really are. And you know, you expect McMichael at age 24 to continue his blossoming career. This is a guy who scored in the mid-20s last year. Does it surprise you if he pushes it up over 30? Probably not. Will Protas stay at 30, or will he go further? To me, that was the most improved season I could imagine. There wasn't a player that was more improved in the entire NHL than Alexei Protas. Does that continue? Does Tom Wilson continue to be a low 30s, mid-30s type goal scorer? Does Ryan Leonard show you 20-plus goal potential as a 20-year-old? Now, when Ryan's 25, they're going to be expecting 10, 15 more than 20.
Right.
But where does he go this year? Hendricks LaPierre has come in, won a third-line center job. I know he can do it at the offensive end. He's got to be conscientious defensively or else he won't play, and he knows that. And again, now 23, 24 years of age, Hendricks is maturing. He's listened to all the lectures from the coaches. Spencer Carberry is constantly in his ear, and vice versa. Hendricks is going to the coaching staff. What can I do better? So good on him for earning the job. Yeah, he was great in camp, phenomenal in preseason play, but now it's live bullets. This is real. Now he's got to show me why they invested a first-round pick in him and that he can stay in the lineup. And if he does, there's another guy with straight line speed that will catch your eye. You'll see 29 go, ooh, wait a minute, that guy can really go. And the more of those guys you have in nowadays NHL, the better you're served.
All right. If it doesn't go well, what would be the reason that it doesn't go well?
Oh,
what's
boy.
The biggest concern?
I like this team.
Yeah, I
really do. I really like this team. Now, the biggest concern to me, lots of teams in the East are getting better.
Right.
The teams that you could sit there and go, you know, Caps are going to be top eight for sure. Let's see how high we can get them into that top eight. All of a sudden, those bottom teams are coming along, and they've made player personnel moves that should make them better. To me, in the Metro, it's Washington, Carolina, Jersey. in any particular order. Carolina is terrific, and they added the player that Washington really wanted in the offseason from Winnipeg in Nikolaj Ehlers. It only makes an exceptionally fast team that much faster, because Ehlers, no pun intended, is a true jet. He would look beautiful on this squad. To me, if the special teams fail, this team's really good 5-on-5. I think if you keep it a 5-on-5 game, I favor the Caps most nights and against anybody. But if all of a sudden it becomes a power play shootout, or all of a sudden, you know, your penalty killing goes really sour, and I don't anticipate that, Scott Allen is too good of a PK coach to let that happen. Kirk Muller is too good of a power play coach to let the power play fall off. And Spencer Carberry is somebody who looks after the power play in conjunction with Kirk, and Spencer brings all of that Toronto power play background with him. If the special teams, if both special teams were to fall off dramatically, yeah, then they'd be in trouble. They would be.
Last one. You know, we talk about, and you and I talk about this every year before the postseason starts, that it tends to be a bit of a crapshoot. We've seen a lot of 8 seeds. We've seen a lot of, you know, teams that had no business sort of winning a cup or competing for one late into the postseason do it. But in recent years, we've had Florida and Edmonton in back-to-back seasons. Florida has been in the Stanley Cup Finals 3 straight years. Why is Florida able to do that? Why are they able to sort of rise above the random nature sometimes of the postseason NHL, the NHL postseason?
Spectacularly well built, really put together, top to bottom. Go through the lineup, look down the middle, start down the middle. Now, if you're a Florida Panther hockey fan right now, you're a little bit concerned because of the early season injuries. You're missing 2 of your very, very best forwards in Matthew Tkachuk and Alexander Barkov. People do not know how good Barkov is. But that's a 2-time Stanley Cup champion for a reason. They are loaded everywhere. And they're going to be good again. Even if Barkov... Well, see, the problem is Barkov is so important to them. If they don't have Barkov at all, that's going to be troublesome. But if they were... If they had Barkov and Tkachuk for the majority of the season, I'm again going to pick them as the player, as the team that comes out of the East. They're that good. They're just well-built and at the right age. And, oh, by the way, incredibly well-coached by Paul Maurice. I could go on and on about that franchise. They've been really good. And I'll give you one that's going to maybe surprise, but people are going to say, geez, Joe, how can you call them a surprise? The squad that might be the one that comes out of the East is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, to me, this is the last chance for them to really
it
be
is.
The squad that, well, yeah, is not that far removed from Stanley Cup championships, not that far removed from playing deep into the postseason. Is this the last ride for Kucherov and Point and Hedman and Vasilevsky? You talk about their top end. Their top end is so good. And it's not like they're thin, but that's why I like Washington too, Kevin, because the depth of this team, when I'm looking at the roster right now and how it lays out, the Caps are deep. That's why they're good. That's why they're a threat in the Metro. That's why they're a threat in the East. You can't just be, again, you're going to sit there and go, what about Edmonton? You can't just be super duper top line, 2 of the best players in the world like Edmonton. That Edmonton team must be deeper than we give it credit for. That goalie must be better than I give him credit for each and every year. I say they can't win with him, and Skinner does just that. They get there. But to me, it's the teams that have quality depth. Washington is one of those. Carolina is definitely one of those. Florida is definitely one of those. There are signs, and to me, it's always down the middle. How well you play, and I think in so many sports, right? We can do that in so many different areas. You look down the middle, you look at the centers, you look at the goalies, and you sit there and go, wow, you know, they are at the upper echelon for a reason. I expect this Washington team to compete, and the best thing is not a lot of others do, which is really good because this group tends to use it as fuel.
Actually, one more. Is there a chance that Toronto, who ended up, you know, winning that division and losing that, you know, brutal seventh game against Florida in the second round, is their window closing? Are they ever going to get back to a Stanley Cup final? It seems like every spring Toronto's in that position where their place is lit and people are expecting something and it doesn't happen.
So pressure packed. That is the, you know, that is the Yankee Stadium kind of pressure that they feel each and every year. The team is definitely talented, without question, and has those upper end guns that we talk about. They're there. So much so that they even shred one. They sent one to Vegas, and to me, again, the best teams, Kevin, are in the West. Vegas, Colorado, Dallas. I could go on and on. Those teams are really darn good. But all of a sudden now, with the change in personnel, you look at them and you go, well, can Matthew Nyes be Mitch Marner? Well, he's a different type of player, but he's going to produce. He's a monster in size and speed. Marner was devilishly quick and fancy. And when you have an Austin Matthews, the question is, how healthy is Austin? When Austin's healthy, there aren't very many goal scorers on the planet who are better. William Nylander has the ability to break defenses down like few other players in the league. They have the upper echelon guys. Do you trust Stolarz in goal for Toronto? Do you think they have enough defensively? I think it's a veteran core on defense. It doesn't have a lot of standouts, but they can mask some of their defensive deficiencies, sometimes their goaltending deficiencies, with their scoring ability. They can, when they're right, they can light a scoreboard up. Can they get there? Yes. The East is so close and so competitive, and all of a sudden, right out of the gate, when everybody's ready to go, hey, Florida's going to be a three-peat team. Boom. Matthew Tkachuk for months. Boom. Barkov maybe for the entire season. Now that changes the story. And it only brings a lot of really good Eastern teams into the mix.
You guys don't have the call tonight, right? That's a national game on TNT.
No, unfortunately not. We have the weekend in New York, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday on Monumental, 7 o'clock against the Islanders, and then Sunday at 7 o'clock against the Rangers in New York for Joe and company's first two games. How's Locker doing?
He's doing great. He'll be with me for the pregame shows tonight and the red carpet shows that are also on Monumental Sports Network tonight. He's doing well. Literally, Kevin, he's on the tennis court right now.
Perfect. Want to see him out there just competing and very healthy. That's always great news.
He is healthy. He is healthy, and that's awesome.
All right. Be good. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for this.
Anytime you like. My pleasure.
Joe Beninati, everybody, Caps and Bruins tonight in the opener at Capital One, 7:30 puck drop. It's a national TV game, but you can hear the game on 106.7 The Fan, home for the Washington Capitals. All right, we'll do some NFL buy and sell next. All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to buy something NFL-wise, sell something NFL-wise. If you guys want to weigh in, 301-230-0980. You can buy something that you think you are convinced is right about a team or a player, and you can sell something at 301-230-0980. So the first thing I'm going to buy, just because this is such a contrarian kind of the way I think purchase here. Do you know that the Ravens are favored to win the AFC North right now?
I did hear
they are
this.
The favorites at 1-4 to win the AFC North. It was like basically both teams were like minus 110 at the beginning of the week. Now the Ravens are at like minus 105 and the Steelers are at like plus 115. They're the favorites to win a division in which currently they're 1-4 with, by the way, very little hope of becoming 2-4 on Sunday. They're a 7.5-point underdog at home against the Rams. So, of course, you know what I'm going to do? I'm buying the Ravens to win the AFC North. And I like Pittsburgh, and I like the way Aaron Rodgers has played for the most part, and I think they're getting better on defense. But the reason, for those of you who are like, wait a minute, that can't be right. The reason it is what it is, odds makers favoring the Ravens right now, still at 1-4 to win the AFC North, is multifold. Number one is they've got 12 games left in the season. All right, that's number one. Number two is Cincinnati and Cleveland, neither one of those two teams are contenders. They can't win the division as long as Joe Burrow's out. I mean, Joe Flacco is going to be better than Jake Browning, more likely than not, but he's not going to keep them in contention, I don't think, until Burrow comes back. Cleveland's now in full rebuild mode. We'll see a lot of Dylan Gabriel. We're going to see Shedeur Sanders, I would imagine, at some point this year, unless Gabriel just plays well enough to stay in there. And the Ravens don't play their head-to-heads with the Steelers until December 7th, game one at home, and the final game of the year, first weekend in January. Not to mention the fact that after the Ravens play the Rams this week, Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. And then they play the Steelers, and then they play the Bengals again. I am going to buy the Baltimore Ravens, pure contrarianism for the average person. I understand what the odds makers are looking at, and I understand why. Actually, I'm very surprised that they're the favorite. I would have said they're close, but they're not the favorite. No, they are the favorite to win the AFC North. Baltimore is going to come back probably from a 1-5 start, because I don't see them winning this week. Lamar's not playing this week, right?
No. I don't believe he's expected to play.
I don't think he's been ruled out. I don't think he's been ruled out yet, but I don't think he's expected to play. I'm going to pick them, by the way, very, very easily by the end of this upcoming weekend. Pittsburgh could be 4-1. The Ravens could be 1-5. And I still think next week the Ravens still might be a slight favorite to win the division. That's my first purchase, the Ravens, to win the AFC North.
All right.
What's
I got a purchase. I got a purchase for you, Kev. So last week I purchased Dak Prescott because he was leading in adjusted EPA per play and PFF grade. But you know who surpassed him with their performance this week?
Baker and has been Mayfield.
No. Sam Darnold. Through 5 weeks of the NFL, Sam Darnold now leads all quarterbacks in both PFF grade and EPA per play. He was in the very top right of the chart.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me Baker Mayfield
as
the player. Okay.
I know, which is why it's so weird saying Sam Darnold after the season he had last year with KOC. He got right, and now he's currently playing some of the best ball in the league right now against some pretty solid defenses. Like the Tampa Bay is no slouch. Seattle, who have they played recently? It's just been week after week, he's just been really, really good. And I'm going to be buying Sam Darnold. If you told me this when he was on the Jets, I would have told you were crazy. But like, they smoked the Saints. It was a close battle with the Niners. Beating the Steelers was a good win for them. Seahawks and Sam Darnold got something cooking.
They definitely have something cooking. I think it's a well-coached team. I think it's a good defensive team, even though they gave up 38 on Sunday. Seattle and Tampa are two good football teams, I think, in the NFC. And that, you know, you actually really loved Tampa before the season started.
They're so fun. I picked them
to win the division. You picked them to be the one seed in the NFC. I get it on them. I definitely get it on Seattle. I'm a bigger Baker Mayfield guy than I am a Sam Darnold guy, though.
Understandable.
I still think Darnold will kill you in key moments, which did happen at the end of the game Sunday. And you go back to the playoff game against the Rams.
I mean, and
even the season finale against the Lions last year. When you get in his face, it's a problem for him, where Mayfield seems to thrive on that. My first sell, and I've got another buy coming. My first sell is, in the short term, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to struggle. And I think that includes tomorrow night. In fact, I think they are going to lose outright to the Giants tomorrow night to fall to 4-2. There's something wrong in Philadelphia, so much so that Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, and Jalen Hurts had some sort of get-together, private get-together, that they've been asked about, but they're, you know, just said it's, you know, football and teammates getting together. They have a really, right now, an offensive line issue. It's not the same offensive line as last year. Saquon Barkley doesn't have much room to run. He's not getting many opportunities to run. And I'm selling the Eagles in the short term, like meaning tomorrow night to fall to 4-2. And maybe, you know, by the time we get to December and they've played, let's say, 12, 13 games, to be in that 7-6-8-5 range. You know, not in, you know, not 10-3, not 11-2, and running away with the East. I think Washington's going to be in this chase all year long for the NFC East. And I think those two games at the end of the year are going to be super meaningful to, twice in the final 3 weeks. I can't imagine the Cowboys are going to be there by the time we get there, but they can really move the football. I'm selling the Eagles right now over their next 4, 5, 6 games to continue to look underwhelming. And I want to be clear, I'm selling them tomorrow night against the Giants. I think they're going to lose that game outright. I watched the Giants Sunday. They lost to the Saints 26-14. Man, was that score completely misleading with how hard they played and at times how well they played. They just turned it over 5 times. A couple of them were flukish turnovers. I really like the Giants tomorrow night. You'll hear that on the show tomorrow. But I think Philadelphia is going to struggle, even though they play the Giants twice in the next 3 weeks. People are looking at the Eagles right now, and they're like, okay, there are problems. But they play the Giants twice in the next 3 weeks, with a game at Minnesota and against Carson Wentz, more likely than not. Maybe J.J. McCarthy, you know, sandwiched between the two Giant games. I think Philadelphia is heading for a December in which maybe they'll start to figure it out then, because they have enough talent and they've got a championship pedigree, no doubt. But I don't think we're going to see Philly at 10-2 or 11-2, you know, 12, 13 games into the season this year. I think it's going to look closer to maybe not even in first place when we get to that point. I'm not discounting their possibilities when we get to the end of the year and in the postseason. I just think the problems right now are legit real on offense, and that they're going to struggle offensively, and it's going to cost them games, plural, here over the next 5, 6 weeks. I'm selling the Eagles in the short to medium term. What's your sell?
My sell this week is going to be, and this is going to be really stupid, is the Cincinnati Bengals. Now,
Well, they're 15-point underdogs.
This is true. They are. But I think they just made a trade yesterday that made them worse, because they just traded for Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is going to be...
Did you see Jake Browning play?
Yes, I have. But getting an older, less mobile guy is not the answer behind that offensive line. So I think they're... I feel like the Bengals might be embracing a full tank here, and starting to kind of shift their eyes towards the draft in 2026. So Bengals, I'm all the way out. And I think as long as Joe Burrow's there, I think they'll be okay. But man, after that, it's awful. It's putrid. It's disgusting. I can use all the words to describe how bad it is. I'm just out on Cincinnati.
They have a terrible offensive line, which is why it's a bad fit for Flacco. And would have been a bad fit for Jameis, would have been a bad fit for Kirk. Their offensive line has gotten Burrow murdered the last couple of years, and the same thing happened to Browning. The difference between a Burrow and a Browning, well, obvious differences, but the difference between Browning and Flacco, Browning played scared. There's never been a moment in Joe Flacco's career where he's played scared. He's almost too oblivious to everything around him to be scared. So there are going to be some balls that he is going to throw quickly in the general direction of T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, even when they are blanketed, because he does not back away from those things. But that offensive line's bad. They're a 15-point underdog against the Packers on Sunday. That's not, you know, a misspeak. They are 15-point underdogs at Lambeau on Sunday. All right. The next thing that I am buying is I'm buying a player. And yeah, I did watch this game as much as I watched the Eagles and the Broncos, because I bet the Saints on Sunday. And that ended up being a win. I have liked this guy since he was at TCU. Yes, another TCU player. But I have liked him since he's been in the NFL too, but he's never been the number one back in New Orleans because Alvin Kamara is. Kendre Miller is a 6 foot tall, 225 pound back. He is got a ton of talent, and he really actually carried in many ways New Orleans at the end of the game. I went to look at his stats because I thought it was better than this, but it was 10 carries for 41 yards, pretty much all in the second half against a very good Giant defense. The week before, when they were in Buffalo and they had a chance to win that game against the Bills, he was 11 for 65. This guy is just 23 years old. He's on a bad team right now with a star player in front of him. Kendre Miller, number 5 in New Orleans. It may not be in New Orleans, but it's going to be somewhere in the near future where he is going to be a starter, and he's going to be a big-time 1,200-yard-plus running back in the NFL. What's your next buy?
I got another buy, and it's going to be, like I said, another weird one. Give me Spencer Rattler. He hasn't lost them these games. I think that's a lot of it's boiled down to coaching.
Yeah.
But just projecting future, looking forward. What did we think about Baker Mayfield? What did we think about Sam Darnold? We thought these guys were dead, 6 feet under in the ground. I think Spencer Rattler is going to learn from all these like lumps that he's taking early in his career, and I think he could turn into something long term going forward. But right now, it does not look good for the Saints, but hey, it's going to be an interesting season for them. I will be watching from a distance, but not watching nonetheless.
All right. So I sold Philadelphia in the short to medium term. The team that was undefeated, one of two undefeateds going into last weekend. And I'm selling Buffalo right now as a team that's not going to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
Ooh.
They didn't have Ed Oliver on Sunday night. That's a big loss for them. I just don't see it with them defensively that they're good enough. And I've looked at for full disclosure, last week I sold the Patriots from being the surprise team out of the AFC. Well, I've done a 180 on that because I looked at Buffalo's schedule and then I looked at New England's schedule. Do you know what New England has? Like, they play the Saints, the Titans, the Browns, the Falcons the next 4 weeks. They have still two against the Jets. They play the Giants. They play the Bengals. They also have the Ravens and Dolphins on the schedule. I think the Ravens might be for real by the time they play them. But it's like a joke of a schedule as it appears now. It's not always who you play. It's when you play them. I understand that. And they've already beaten Buffalo once. Meantime, the Bills have a tough game Monday night at Atlanta coming off a bye week. And then in 2 weeks, they get the Chiefs. They still have games with the Buccaneers. They've still got games with the Eagles and the Steelers on the road. I think Buffalo isn't going to end up being the one seed. I'm not saying they're going to lose the division, although it's in play now for New England. But I think teams like Indy and maybe even a team like Denver or KC at some point, I'm selling the Bills from what seemed like an obvious trek towards the one seed to something less than that, maybe much less than that. Yeah. What else are you selling?
Well, I do want to say...
By the way, I like Atlanta Monday night at home to potentially beat Buffalo. I like Buffalo and Philly. It would not surprise me if this time next week we're talking about the two last remaining undefeateds being in the midst of two-game losing skids.
I was going to say, to back up your Patriots point, Drake May has played lights out.
The whole team's played great. He's been incredible. Diggs has been incredible. They are so well coached.
They're really
so well coached. Hunter Henry's been a great weapon for Drake May. I think he's already at like 20 catches, something like that, through five games.
Yeah, it's been insane.
Yeah.
But
all right, what else? I think you had something else.
I do have a sell, and my buy and sell has been pretty obvious today. But my next sell is Mike McDaniel's tenure on the Dolphins. I think that he's going to be an offensive coordinator next year. And he could be, if Cliff Kingsbury goes to get a head coaching job, could be rejoining the Washington Commanders in the future. But I'll save that for the offseason.
You know what? I really like that as an early, bold call. That is an interesting early, bold call from you, because that actually makes some sense. You should have saved that for tomorrow's Don't Be Surprised If.
Damn it!
How about Mike McDaniel replacing Cliff Kingsbury, who gets a head coaching job in Tennessee to work with Cam Ward next year?
This is music to my ears, Kev.
You just sold the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I'm
right?
selling Mike McDaniel right. and the Dolphins. He's lost the locker room. Tyreek Hill cheering when he was being carted off. All that. It's a mess in Miami, and Mike McDaniel's not the guy to clean it up.
All right, NFL buy and sell. You got to buy something. You got to sell something. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. We've got an open line or two if you want to weigh in. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Remember, all of our NFL talk presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the Giants lost last week to the Saints, where they turned the ball over five times. They lost the turnover battle, -5. That's a tough deal. And they were in the game. They were still in the game for much of it. All right, 301-230-0980 if you want to weigh in with an NFL buy and sell. We haven't talked to Ian in at least a week, so we'll put Ian on first. Go ahead.
I'm going to do the buy low, sell high thing. So I'm going to sell Bill Kroski Merritt. I think the hype on him is way overblown. I will sell Aaron Rodgers.
You're just such a downer. I mean, let people be happy for a couple of weeks. God, would it kill you? Would it kill you to actually just buy into something for a little bit? You're going to tell me that you don't think he's talented?
I think he's just a guy. I think he's just a guy. If Jane Daniels isn't there, I've seen him without Jane Daniels. He's just a guy. Okay. He didn't even start the season.
Well,
he's just a guy.
You can say that about a lot of young running backs.
Sure. So,
well, the opening to the season, that game against the Giants, he was actually outstanding in that game.
Yeah, Jane Daniels was there.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And he had 68 yards rushing, too. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So,
what else?
And then I'll give you two more. I'll go Baker Mayfield MVP. I'm selling. I think he's got a lot of turnover-worthy throws that just haven't hit there. He makes the most boneheaded decisions sometimes.
Are you going to buy anything? I'm just curious. Or is this just going to be a negative? You're selling everything.
And I was going to sell Aaron Rodgers, but I will actually concur with you. I am going to buy the New York Giants with Jackson Dart there. I think that's a totally different team with him at the helm.
Yeah, the problem is he turned the ball over three times. He threw two picks, and he lost a fumble in which nobody touched him. He literally just coughed it up and while running, and the ball bounced right into the hands of the Saint player. Looks different. They look different with him than they did with Russell Wilson, but it's exactly. Two games, and we may find out that he's just a guy. We could find that out.
We might, but I'm buying low, so I'm buying him now coming off that game. I think it's a different team, but Aaron Rodgers, right. Baker Mayfield, and Bill Crosby Merritt sell.
Yeah, I figured you'd have many more sells than buys. Let's go to Billy. Billy, go ahead.
Billy, oh no.
Did we lose Billy?
Billy's just hanging there. I think he's...
Are we having the issues with the phones again?
No, no, Billy's just not talking.
Kevin, I'm here.
There he is.
I'm here. I had it on mute.
Yeah, we got some issues with the phones today, but go ahead. This is going to be the last call we take because of the phone issues.
Not Billy related anyway. I'm up two units from my last buy and sell. So my first sell is
tell me what those were. Remind me, because I'm not keeping track of your buys and sells.
Well,
I mean,
I wrote it down.
I'm not your bookmaker.
I don't know where the paper is. I wrote it down, but I don't know where the paper is.
Interesting. Yeah, how that works.
I'm selling dropping the football before the goal line. I would not recommend that for any player. Stop dropping the football before the goal line. I know, Kevin, you and I had a mild disagreement about. The reason that's happening, an epidemic here in the football college and professional football community, I am buying for $2,000 football pants with stripes. Can we get some stripes on these football? We have the worst uniforms in the NFL, and they're running around in yoga pants with cranberry and mustard. Can we at least get some stripes on these pants?
You know,
that's what I'm buying.
Actually, you should just be buying pants in general on NFL players, because so many of the players now basically are in shorts.
Yeah, sure.
So,
like a basketball short.
Right. So you want the stripes on a basketball short? How about let's just take full pants
either
and pads first? All right, we got to run.
Pads.
Billy's call, per usual, not really, one that we're going to think a lot about today. Thanks. Sorry for those we didn't get to. Back tomorrow, Chris Russell next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.